Hi everyone, let's start. I hope you've enjoyed this event and the lunch which we had today. And one of the most important target of my session will be not to put you asleep, yes, after the lunch. So be prepared for true magic in SQL Server. Today we will talk about a lot of stuff, a lot of interesting and not very obvious things which we can see in SQL Server. My name is Denis. I came from Ukraine. Since 2010, I've got Microsoft SQL Server MVP award. I'm working for a company in TAP, and I'm a big fan of SQL community. So let's start. Our agenda for today: a lot of SQL Server magic and some kind of black magic. Black magic means some bad things which can happen. Just magic means very good things that you can see in SQL when he saves your time and your resources. Okay, first point. SQL Server eats a lot of RAM. It's a very, very common thing, yes? And before looking at some internal mechanism, let's look how SQL Server eats this RAM. He's very hungry, that's true, but how it works? When you want to read the data, some process want to read the data, it asks, query processor asks component which called access methods, which is an access point for getting the data from memory or from disk. Then another component, buffer manager, took data from the memory. Yes? And all data in SQL Server stored in the data pages. Each page is 8 kilobytes in size. So if this page is in memory, SQL Server read it and return to the query processor. And this called logical read. If data is not in the memory, this page is not in the memory, SQL Server ask database file and load this page to the memory. This is physical read. And then additional logical read to return it to the query processor. So I hope everything is clear here, so let's go to the next. What we will talk about in this chapter? We will talk, SQL Server tries to eat so much RAM, so database size, yes? When you access different parts of database, SQL Server load this data to the memory. If you don't select the data, SQL Server will not eat the memory, that's fine, yes? So to prevent SQL Server eat a lot of memory, just don't touch the data. And everything will be fine. Why this mechanism works so in such a way? Because RAM is fast, hard disk is not so fast. Even SSD is not so fast as RAM. And SQL Server do even more things that we can expect. Here I will talk about ramp up reads. Probably you hear about this mechanism, probably not, but we will look at this right now. And also we will talk about read ahead reads, which actually don't read a lot of RAM, but I can't avoid this topic here. So let's go to the demo. I will do some ramp up reads. I will use my Twitter database, which I used on my yesterday sessions in this demo. So currently I will drop clean buffers, which means free memory of SQL Server data cache. But as you can see, it contains word clean, yes? So dirty pages will not be dropped out from the RAM if I will execute this command. Okay, I will execute this command, and now let's check how many buffers, how many pages are in memory for database Twitter. And we will see that there are no data pages in memory. That's fine, that's expected. Now I'm going to read just one row from table statuses, yes? How much data I should read from the disk in this case? Probably one page, yes? Because one row will be on one page in a lot of cases. Let me do this. I have one row. Let's check how many data was read into the memory. 8 pages. What does it mean? It means that the whole extent is took from the disk and bring to the memory, brought to the memory. And that's fine. This is called ramp up reads. Before SQL Server achieves its memory target, it will read data using extents, using 64, it will read 64 kilobytes from the disk, and this is just an extent, 8 pages. If you even touch one page, it will read 8 pages. Just because it supposes that probably if you access this page, you will access pages which lays near this one in future. Yes, so it's worth taking all of them into the memory as one operation. Okay, let's try to touch another page in this extent. This is pre-calculated value. Yes, I made some investigation to check that. So this page is the last record in the first extent. Let's do this select and check how many pages in memory right now. You see, it's 8 pages, so nothing changed. If I don't touch another page, it will just read it from the memory. And that's fine, that's fine. And let me check the first record of the second extent. Again, I have returned one memory, but now in buffer pool I have 16 records. So even additional, I have 16 records, so additional 8 records have been loaded to the memory. Isn't it cool? Yeah? So SQL Server do a little more than you expect from it. This is called ramp up reads, and this helps it to fill the cache much faster. Okay, that's fine. Let's go to another mechanism which is called read ahead reads. I just can't avoid this in this presentation. I will use database Stack Overflow, which is quite big. It's about 200 gigabytes. This is a dump of Stack Overflow for 3 months. I will do the same. I will clean buffers and turn in on statistics IO, which will show my physical and logical reads. And then, due to this comment, I need to include the actual execution plan. Let's do this. And then I select IDs from table users. It will take a few seconds, maybe more than a few seconds. We will get all the IDs, and on the messages tab, I will see statistics about logical and physical reads. And there will be some interesting case here. So we have index scan, so we scan whole index. And you see that I've dropped all data from the memory, yes? So all data should be read from the disk. If I will go to my IO statistics, I will see that I have 6,000 logical reads and only 1 physical reads. How this is possible? Due to these statistics, I don't have any access to the hard disk, but it's not true because you see we have one more statistics here, read ahead reads. What does it mean? When SQL Server start to scan the index, it already understand that, okay, I will get all the data from this table. And SQL Server can find all subsequent pages using upper index level, yes? So it starts another process which scans this level and scan pages and take them from the memory before the main thread read them. Okay? So it helps to optimize. It helps to bring pages to the memory faster, and it helps to optimize this physical data retrievement. Yes? This is what I call SQL Server magic. This is not black magic, but we will see that one too. Okay. Next topic. What is this? Okay. The heaviest part of execution plan. I hope every one of you have seen this and tried to figure out what's going on with the query. Yes, and what is the heaviest part of the execution plan? Probably you see some numbers near the operators in the execution plan, yes? In actual execution plan. Can we rely on them? Probably not, yes? Because this is just an estimation. This is the cost which SQL Server expects. If you see 99%, this doesn't mean that SQL Server spent 99% of time on this operator. It says it means that SQL Server expects to spend 99% of time on this operator. And that's all. So this works, and this may not work. And now we have in SQL Server 2016, we have a mechanism which helps to find this heaviest part of the plan a bit more quicker than before. Okay, this is some stuff about optimizer. It doesn't perfect, and okay, one more point. Some parts of SQL are not integrated very well into the relational engine. And here I'm talking about functions. Yes? Have you ever seen some statistics mismatch or that this filter operator also always has zero cost in execution plan? Yeah? But it can be very, very heavy. Now we have mechanisms that helps us with this. And this mechanism called live query statistics. Let me show you this magic. This is really, really cool. Here I will use AdventureWorks database. And before this, I will create non-clustered index on the table transaction history 3 on the field transaction date and include product ID in this index. Let me do this. It will be very quick. After that, I will turn statistics IO on and will execute some ugly query, yes? Please don't try to understand what it does, but okay. Let's go here. Let me stop it. Let me execute it and show you the execution plan. It is quite fast, it makes some logical reads. This query plan is parallel, but what we can see here, yeah? Probably this is not what I wanted to show you. Okay. Let's add some hint and make this plan serial. Okay. That's nice. Plan become better than I expected. Okay. that's very nice. Okay. What I mean about these numbers, which you can see here. Cost 6%, cost 33%, and so on and so on. This hash match has 23% of cost. Repartition has 15 and so on and so on. And this is just an estimation. How things are going on, you can find probably I've missed this one. I don't need this included field to show you beautiful demo. Okay. Let's run it once more. Never mind. In SQL Server 2016, we have this additional button, which called Live Query Statistics. Yeah? And if I include it, if I turn it on, my query, all my execution will be seen in the real time. This query is too fast to watch it live. Let me do it a bit. Let me make it a bit slower. Okay, let's run it. Okay, it's nice. So now you see This. You see these execution statistics and you see a lot of things. You can see how much time each operator took, yes? This one took only some small parts of second, yes, all this branch. But this branch is a bit more heavier, yeah? And there is a big statistics mismatch here. 7 rows is what SQL Server expect to see from this branch, from this operator, but 1 million is what comes again. So you can look at this, and this is much better than this one, yeah? But probably this time SQL Server is correct. This is the heaviest part of this operation. Okay, let's look at another example. Let me run this query. I will turn off live statistics and run this query, which took data from big transaction history and big product on some filtering criteria, yeah? And it should took about 20 seconds to execute. Let's look how execution plan will looks like here. And you will see that there is a big mismatch between actual result and what we see in the execution plan. It already took 33 seconds. Okay, let me show you the internals of these live query statistics. I will run this query. There is a view inside SQL Server which called DM exec query profiles. In which version of SQL Server it was added? Who remember this? In 2014, yes? And based on this view, in 2016, and in 2016 Management Studio, you have this option live query statistics, yes? And probably you are interested in, can we use this with SQL Server 2014? And the answer, yes, we can. This is particularly this example and this database is on the version of SQL Server 2014, because I can't take risk to show a demos on 2016 right now before it will be released. And querying this view, I can see a lot of statistics about each operator in my execution plan. I can see CPU time which spent on this, I can see duration of its execution, I can see logical reads, row count, and other information. And this is very, very useful info. But when query is finished, if I will query this view one more time, I will get nothing, yes? And to get some information in this view, you should execute your query with statistics profile or with statistics XML. Statistics XML actually means including actual plan in Management Studio, yes? Or setting this option manually. What we can see here in the execution plan? We see only 5 operators, yes? This is very interesting. This is very interesting. And here, what is the heaviest part of this plan? Probably this one, yes? Or not?
Filtering.
Yes, probably this can't be so huge. Our query executes more than 1 minute. Yes? Oh, okay. Now it will be executed much more faster. But 10,000 rows, it's nothing for SQL Server, yes? It's not for 1 minute of scanning the data. And if we will look at the statistics, if I include live query statistics for this query, you will see that, okay, oh, what the heck? What is this? Parallel operator, sort, index, scan, which took huge, huge time, yes? And I don't see this in my actual execution plan, because this is a function. This is my filtering operator, which show me cost zero in execution plan, but actually this is a very, very heavy part. So live query statistics can help you Particularly, I used it for troubleshooting very big execution plans. Yes, this is a very distilled example, just a small piece of big execution plan which execute which executes not very good. But on a lot of examples, you will have very big execution plans with a lot of branches, and it will be very hard even to find all these costs. Yes, but running live query statistics, you will see this in actual time. You will see your blocking operators, yes, which stops query to return data faster and so on. And this is very, very cool. Oh, yes. In SQL Server 2014, if you will use Management Studio 16 with SQL Server 2014, you can use this option, but if you will install Service Pack 1, I hope you all install Service Pack 1 on your SQL Server instances. And after this, you can use this feature. Is it cool? Yeah? It's also white magic. It's very cool. Okay. Oh, that's all, thank you. I'm joking. Next magic, no log side effect. This is some kind of black magic, yeah? Let's look how indexes works, how we can read data from the table. First operation is index seek. When we want to find some data in the index, for example, for this query, select star from user where ID equals 523, SQL Server will scan first page of the index. Then he will find that 523 is in this range between 1 and 2000 and 2000. He scanned this page, and then he scanned this page. Yes? Each row on these intermediate levels and on root levels contains first value of the page of the next level. Yes? And using this structure, we can store a lot of data. And just in few page scans, we can search in tables with millions of data. This is very fast. But this is very fast for very selective operations. Yes, when we need one row, two row, maybe 10 row, or 100 row. If we need generally more than 5% of tables data, and even less in some case, it's more useful to use table scan, index scan. In this case, SQL Server finds first page of the index and starts scanning all pages subsequently. Each page contains two pointers to previous page on the same level and to the next page. And this scan uses these pointers to find the next page. It's quite fast. But SQL Server has another mechanism for getting the data, for scanning the data, which called allocation ordered scan. This, if index seek and index scan you can find in your query plan, allocation ordered scan you cannot find. You can only know when SQL Server use it and try to predict its usage. How it works? Imagine that you have clustered index and all pages are combined into extents. Yes? We learned it from the first demo when SQL Server load extends into the memory. So several pages will be in the first extent, next pages will be in the second extent, and the last pages will be in the extent N. Yes? And there is also one more. There are a lot of system pages, but one of them is index allocation page. This page tracks all extents which are related to the same index. Yes? For example, this index contains index allocation map with links to these extents. And to get data very quickly, SQL Server even don't need to follow these pointers between the pages. It just needs to scan this index allocation map and just scan all extents, all subsequent extents. And SQL Server uses this feature when it can. And when he understands that he is allowed to do this, and when it will make your scans faster. This is general information that this is very good because it's much faster than following pointers between pages. But if you use no-lock hint, it may give you some unexpected behavior, some really unexpected behavior. And let's look at this behavior. So, this demo will be really synthetic because it's very hard to reproduce such situation, and probably you may never see it in any time. Yes, you may never see it during your whole career, but if you saw it someday, it will be very, very confusing to find that it works in such a way. Okay, for this demo, I will create global temp table with the name temp, and which contains field ID of unique identifier and two fields of name, name one and name two, with the type char 1000. This means that this whole row will be quite big, yes? It's about two kilobytes. So my page, how many rows my page can contain? Probably around four rows, yes, on each page. They are quite big. Then I add primary key, and this constraint by default create clustered unique index, yes, on this field ID. That's fine. Then I begin to insert values into my table in a cycle. What does it mean? It means that if I use not subsequent ID like int identity, I use unique identifier, my inserts will put data to the different parts of the table, yes? So this will be random insert in different parts. This is very scalable because you don't have hotspot on the last page of the index, but it can give a lot of mass. Let's do this. Let me create this global temp table, and I start cycling. In the other query, I just make a snapshot of this table. I select all IDs from this temp table into new temp table result. Yes, and I use hint no lock for this. I'm selecting data with no lock. Let me do this. It's quite quick. I've got 60. Okay, let me stop this cycle because it will burn my laptop and drop this table. I don't need it. There is around 500,000 rows, yes, have inserted. And let's do this query. I will select ID and count star. I will group my selection by ID, and I will select only those rows who have count star greater than one. Does it make sense? No, really. This ID field is primary key, so there can't be duplicate in the table, yes? But we read the data of the table with no lock. And as you may guess, this mechanism which I show in presentation, allocation order and scan. So let's look at the result of this query. What the heck? It returned 1,500 rows, yes? And these are duplicates. You just get duplicates in your query. Let me explain how this happens. When the data insert in the different part of your table, there may be such operation like page split, yes? And when this happens, half of the data stays on the same page and half of the data goes to the new page which will be created. And using this mechanism, SQL Server don't care about the consistency of your data, it will just scan all the extents. And when the first extent will scan, this page which have already been scanned and put into the output may be split, and half of these rows will be copied in the next page, which will be scanned once more. So using NoLog in some, so this is a very rare case, yes? How many of you use unique identifier as a primary key? Yeah? Mostly all of us use int with identity. But there are some cases when we should use another keys. And these random inserts with combination with NoLog someday may give this side effect, but it's very, very rare. But you should be aware that maybe some of your query once in your life will return you not what you expect, actually. Why this happened? Allocation order scan used in three cases. First of all, it used when you use hint with no log. In this case, SQL Server think that you don't care about results, yes? But actually, we don't care about dirty reads when we use no log. But we care about duplicates. But again, this is very, very rare situation, very rare magic. If you use tab log hint, if you log table, this will also be used. But in this case, it's safe, yes? Nobody will modify the data which you read right now. Third case is when you use read-only file groups, but this is also safe. One unsafe situation is when you use no log. But again, this is a very rare case. Okay, let's go to the next demo. Oh, I will not stand up because I don't have any slides for this. This is some kind of small, very small magic. Here, I will use database Stack Overflow, and let me select count star from posts. This is a huge table which has millions of rows. And it will take some time, probably 10 or 12 seconds, to return me results. But let's look at the execution plan. Yeah, there are 2 million, yes? No, 21 million of rows. Scan use non-clustered index on the field owner user ID. It doesn't scan clustered index, yes, when we execute count star. What does it mean? It means that SQL Server magic use the smallest index of your table to get count star. It will not use clustered index because it's too big, but it will take the smallest index and use it in the query. Okay, let's try not to use count star, but let's use some field in the table like parent ID. This field has an index on it. This field has an index on it, and this query is very fast, 2 seconds, and oh. It uses the same index owner user ID. Why? Probably because it's smaller, yes? And it doesn't matter if your field is indexed. SQL Server will try to use smallest index. But this will work only if your field is not nullable. If your field is nullable, SQL Server will not have another option than scan index on this field or clustered index if there are no index on this field, yeah? For example, if I select count score, it will take a lot of time. Let me stop this query and show you the execution plan. It will scan clustered index. So this is how this works. And this is very good. So SQL Server tried to make your query as efficient as it's possible if you use count. Okay, next magic, like. I hope you will like this, yeah? Let's go to the demo. Let me turn on the execution plan. I will use database AdventureWorks 2014, and I will create index on the product number, which is an varchar field in the big product table. Let me do this. Okay. If I will use wildcard at the end, will it be efficient? this query. Yes, it definitely will be efficient because it will do index seek. Yeah, very nice. And it uses only 3 logical reads for this. If I will use a wildcard at the start, no, it will not be efficient. There will be index scan, and there will be much more logical reads, 137 here. Okay, but we can optimize this case, yes? We can create calculated field, which is reverse product number, make it persisted, so it will be calculated only on insert and update, and then we can index this field. After doing this, our query can be efficient, but we scan not on like with wildcard at the beginning, but we just call like reverse this, yeah? And this will use this newly created index, yeah? We will have index seek, and we will have very small number of logical reads. So this is efficient. This case can be optimized. What about wildcard in the middle? Will it be efficient?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Because you see that here we see index seek and our wildcard operator in the middle was divided to 2 separate comparison operators. First, compare the product number greater or equal than BL and product number less than BM. Yeah? And this first one is a very good candidate for using this index, yes? Second one, use just to filter that results. So we do index seek on this condition, and then we filter some results using this condition. That's fine. So it works quite good. But let me drop these indexes which I have created. But what if we have wildcard on the both sides? Definitely it's not efficient. It's always index scan, yes? But can we optimize this? Probably yes. We can do this up to 8 times more efficient. Let's check how many time it took. There is index scan, and it took about 32 milliseconds. I can run this query several times. And these numbers, let me not include actual execution plan because it will damage these results. But it's consistent. It's about 30 milliseconds, yes? Let's do some trick. Let me drop these indexes. Let me run this query one more time to show that everything I said was true. Okay, and let's do this. Let's change collation of product number field from regular collation, which is default collation is always case insensitive and S insensitive, to binary, which means that all your characters will be treated as different characters, yes? And case will also be, strings with different cases will be treated as different strings. But probably in some scenarios it can be used, yes? You can make all the strings uppercase or lowercase, or really care about this case and use binary collation. And this binary comparison is the fastest comparison. Yeah. So after doing this, on this example, we will get much better performance. Yes. It's more than twice. So this is a trick that you can use for optimizing even such lookups which use wildcard character on the both sides. Does it make sense? Yeah, is it cool? Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, next. This is a black magic. How fast can be select null? Have you select null in your experience? I found this very interesting. And on some day of my career, I saw a really big issue with this. Imagine a storage procedure which used in your reporting, yes? But not for main report, for sub-reports. And for each row in main report, this report calls sub-reports and calls this storage procedure. And it's quite heavy, yeah? But it shouldn't be executed for each row. Imagine that you have 1 million of rows in your table, and this storage procedure return only 10 or 100 results from that table. For other table, there should be nulls. And this storage procedure looks like if and else. If parameter equal to some value, select null. If parameter not equal to some else, do this complex logic and select a lot of data. But this solution works well on small databases. Yeah, when clients' databases become bigger, bigger, and bigger, accidentally this starts working very bad. Yes? And it didn't finish in an hour. And that was really, really bad. So why? Why? How it can be? How it can happen? Let me show you how. How heavy can be select, just select null. Yeah? I will run select null in a cycle. Just select it, select null 1,000 times. Okay, 11 seconds, 13, 14, 15. What do you think? How many time it took? It will took. Oh, 23 seconds. Quite fast. What about million of rows? I will not run this. I'm joking. It will be very long, but it's not really true, yeah? Because these results, this time is affected by Management Studio for rendering all these nulls, yeah? 1,000 times. And to avoid this, let me turn this off. For this query, I'm going to query options and will choose this checkbox, discard results after execution. So Management Studio overhead will not be added to these results. This is only relational engine time. 1,000, okay, less than a second, nice. 10,000, 1 second. 100,000. Now it's slow. 1 million times, yeah? Plus time for round trip to SQL Server. It can be very, very bad. So, the main point here that each operation in SQL Server costs something. So SQL Server isn't free, even Express Edition. It will cost you some time and some resources, and be careful. Storage procedure with a lot of rows can't be fast. A storage procedure with one big query, yes? So each operation in SQL took some time. And generally, it's better not to use this and just to avoid such conditional logic. Just try to use some query or filter, do these operations in the application. Okay, and now we are coming to the most exciting demo and the most confusing situation which I ever seen in SQL. Be ready. This is called parameter sniffing. But not we will talk not only parameter sniffing, we will talk about a very cool thing about it. Let's remember what does it mean, parameter sniffing. We have some procedure, yes, which took some parameter P. We have query optimizer and we have buffer pool, which is our memory. And also in buffer pool, there is not only data cache, there is also query plan cache. Okay, we execute this procedure, optimizer build query plan, and put it to the query plan cache. And what is parameter sniffing? This storage procedure was compiled for this parameter P. And next time when you will execute this storage procedure one more time with different parameter, it will took the same execution plan from the cache, which may be good and may be not. If your parameter, for example, your ID, your key, and all keys are unique, it will be fine. Yeah. Every time you will get one row, so there is no data skew. But if you check, for example, usernames, which started from A and there are 1 million users, and username which started from B, where are 10 users, is different numbers, yes? There is data skew. And if there is data skew in your table and your parameter values will be different, it may make your query not very efficient, yes? And also one more case when you run your query just to test that it works with some weird parameter which will never use an application. Yes, this will compile your query plan and application will maybe slow. But this is not all the story. What I will show you calls fast in application and fast in management studio and slow in application. And as Erland Sommer's call said, this is one of the things which make me think that SQL Server designed for the maximum level of confusion, because this is very, very confusing behavior. And Erland wrote a great, really great, fantastic article about this topic. I will try to show the demo, which will explain this very, very quickly. But if you want a lot more details about this, I encourage you to check Erland's article. Okay, demo. This demo is quite complex, so now I need to run some preparation for this. And I need to ask you to close your eyes for just a few seconds when I will run this script. Because another way, I will spoil the reason. Okay, thank you in advance. Let me run this preparation script. Okay. It should be finished soon. No, don't look at this, please. It took some time. Oh, probably I can turn on projector, yes? Let me try doing this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry about this. Let me run this. Preparation is going on. This emulating just real use cases when user work with your application, data is growing. Some data was deleted, and after all of that, your database put in some state, and your table has real data skew. And this may really affect your queries. Okay, now we're ready. Let me turn projector on. And let's run some analysis. Imagine a situation when your application becomes slow and client calls you and said, okay, the application is slow, could you please look at this? You say, okay, sure. Let me run the profiler. Yes. And you run profiler. You connect to the server. Choose tuning template because standard is not very good, and just dropped off statement completed to not blow out your trace. And that's also very useful to include some additional fields like application ID, CPU, and logical reads. Okay, let's run profiler. And let's check this client workload. So he ran this some operation on the side. from application, and it took some time. You say, okay, I've catched this data, this query make a lot of logical reads, more than 1,000. One logical reads means reading one page from the memory, and it took more than 1 second. Okay, you just take this query and try to execute it on the database. Yes. And it's fast. Yeah, it's much less than 1 second. You look at the results, you okay, let me. Let me turn some statistics and execution plan. Okay. How many logical reads I have? Actually only 3. Yes. And execution plan looks fine. Fine, I mean small errors. Yes. Where we look at first when we see execution plan. If we don't have like query statistics. We look at the fat errors. Yes. Because fat errors means transmitting a lot of data, and this may be the issue. But now we don't have fat errors, we don't have logical reads, our query looks fine. And we say, okay, please try again. Looks like everything was fixed, everything is fine. Yeah? And okay, client just run this query once more. We look at the profiler, and what the heck is this? It executes 1 second. Okay. We took this query one more time, try to execute it, close this connection completely, try to execute it. Oh, I lost it. Let me, where is it? Okay, let's ask client to execute it once more. Let's took this query. Executed a new connection in Management Studio. And again, it's very, very fast. Yeah? What's going on here? Probably if you see such situation, what is the most frequent case of this? You've got two execution plans, different execution plans. Let's check if this is true. I will run this query, which will take all execution plans for this storage procedure, get transactions by date. And this query returns me, really, there are two execution plans here. That's nice. That's very nice. What I can get from this, and why this happens, actually? Probably something was gone wrong, yes? We can take plan handles from these, yes, let me took two plan handles, and, oh no, that was a bad idea, and let's get some information about them. I will check this view, exact plan attributes, because you see that these plan hashes are different, yes? They are different. And this is the hash which used for getting query plan from the cache. Yes? They are different and there are several keys. You see that is cache key field, which means that this parameter includes in this hash function which create this hash for query plan. Yeah? Starting from this one, we don't care about lower ones, but we care about all of these, yeah? And if you will look here, you will notice that everything is the same, except the top one, except this set options, which means that set options for these two queries were different. That is why SQL Server compiled two execution plans and what is the most confusing, he used one for Management Studio and one for application. This is weird, yeah? Let's try to look Let's try to find which value is different. This is a bitmap, so we can't easily find which value is different, but in SQL Server Management Studio 2016, we have a very nice option to compare query plans. Let's try to use it. Here is first query plan, which is actually fast one, yes? Let me save it. Let me save it as, okay, I have. Let me say it as one SQL plan. I want to replace it, definitely. And let's check second. Oh, this is bad one. Probably this is the query plan which executes for 1 second, yeah? When it can be much more faster. And let's compare this plan with the saved one. As you see, the shape of the plans are completely different. And also we can compare properties side by side, not only query plans. And here we can expand set options and found this bad one. This is it. Aretha abort. False. In application, true in Management Studio. Yeah? Let me prove that this is the reason of bad execution time in application. Let me set this option to off. And run this query. Okay, 1 second. And the query plan is here. So the reason of this confusing behavior is that SQL Server Management Studio by default set these connection options for your connections to on, but ADO.NET library, which is used in .NET applications for accessing SQL Server, set these options for the connection to off. That is why we get different query plans. What we can do with this, we can change this option in Management Studio, so Management Studio will have the same set options with your applications. Yeah, this is this will be very nice fix, but it will be nice when you use your Management Studio like a DBA on your daily basis. But if you come to client, you cannot rely on this. You can just remember that this can happen and just understand that this situation may affect you. So you cannot just copy your query to the Management Studio and get the same performance. But it's very easy. You see that it's very easy to check. You can check just if there are several execution plans for this query. And if they are, you can dive deeper and found the reason of that. Yes? And particularly, the reason of that is, first, this Aretha abort set option. Second is parameter sniffing. Because first time in application it was executed with parameter value 2012, and build this execution plan. But now you are executing it with 2014, yeah? And that is why it compiled for 2014 in Management Studio and it was fast. So this is the explanation of this confusing, very confusing behavior. Okay, and that's all for magic for today. Let's make a quick summary of what we have discussed. First, we discussed ramp-up reads and ready-ahead reads. Ramp-up reads used to SQL Server for filling cache faster. Ready-ahead reads helps to avoid create additional process which make physical reads. So performance of your query is not affected by getting data from the hard disk. It just main thread read data from the memory. Live query statistics, which added in SQL 2016 and helps you to observe your query execution in the real time. And this can be used with SQL 2014 if you install Service Pack and you use Management Studio 2016, which is completely free. Okay, next one. No log side effect. SQL Server, in addition to IndexSeq and IndexScan, can use one more advanced method of getting data, which called allocation order scan. In this case, SQL Server scans index allocation map and then just scans extends subsequently. Yeah, this may affect you if you experience a lot of page splits in your database and you get data from the table using no look hint. So you may get duplicates. Count. This is a small magic. If you use count star, SQL Server try to scan the list, the smallest index in your database. If you make count star on some not nullable field, it will also use the smallest index. If you try to count all on nullable field, it will use index on this field or clustered index if there are no index here. Next one. Like, even if you have two wildcards at the both sides of your expression, oh, not range locks, but like, on both sides of your expression, you can optimize this, the speed of this query by using binary collation. So it will be, maybe it will be up to 8 times faster. Okay, next one. Select null is not free. So each operation, each execution of query in SQL Server take a time. And you should remember this. And the last one, parameter sniffing in comparison with this option, Aretha Board, which different Management Studio and ADO.NET library, can make troubleshooting very, very confusing. So this one should be remembered, and I hope everything was clear and you enjoyed my presentation. Thank you very much.